Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Power of Reinvention. I'm excited to have with me my guest today, Jim Wilson. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. I'm great.
So good to have you here. Ever since you and I met and started talking, there was so much that we just connected on. And I'm so grateful for the new friendship that we have and the business relationship. And got to give a little shout out to my amazing friend, Debbie, for bringing us together.
Our amazing friend, Debbie,
she is just precious, and I cannot wait for us all to be reconnected in some incredible business environment, as we love to do. But in the meantime, I get you all to myself, and we get to have this incredible conversation about some incredible transformative reinvention moments, business moments, and things that you have been doing in your journey called life. So for those that are joining us, I want to give a little background on Jim Wilson. He has spent 20 plus years transforming media, content, and technology businesses. He is currently the CEO of Talon US, where he is leading the award-winning independent out-of-home advertising agency. Previously, Jim served as president of Premion, Tegna, and Gray's first-in-market streaming TV advertising platform. Before that, he served as TouchTune's COO, delivering growth ahead of its sale. As Atari CEO, Jim transitioned the business from retail distributor to digital publisher, leading it to its sale. He also founded Universal Studios' successful games business. Earlier on, he held management roles at Universal, Sony, and Disney. And in his crazy busy life, he also has two kids and, you know, like all of us, juggling so much and really trying to, you know, I'm going to use the word balance, try to find the balance in life. which of course they say is a myth, but you know, it's all a juggling act, right? And, your life is so full. And what I love in just sharing your bio is recognizing so many firsts. You were at the precipice of so many new aspects of business, new divisions, new technology, innovation in brands and companies. And you've really had a front seat position in leading the charge with those companies. So you've accomplished quite a lot, and I'm really excited to delve into this conversation, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel fortunate to have been a part of all of those.
It really has.
No, it's still continuing, of course.
I love it. And we're here to talk about reinventions today, business reinventions, personal and brand reinventions. You know, we're all very complex individuals. And as you know, I wrote a book, Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, which ironically or not ironically came out right the week before the pandemic sent us all home. From that came the virtual chat series and the podcast. And I've had the privilege and the pleasure to talk with hundreds of people over the last 3 years that have had all kinds of extraordinary journeys in this thing called life. You know, there's so much to all of us, the personal, the professional, and all of ourselves, the health, the spiritual, our hobbies. And I love to sort of really help people find a way to not only understand that they're entitled to live their lives the way they want, but once they get to that point that they do figure that out, that they figure out what their passions are and try to really lean into those and live life with that passion. And I feel like you've been in the trenches with some incredible companies and done some extraordinary things. But before we get to all of that, I have a really fun question to start with, which is, who was Little Jim, and what was it when you were that wide-eyed little guy and saw life ahead of you? Did you have any idea of what you wanted to do?
Well, first, I don't want to start any rumors, but I was actually called Little Jim because my dad is a Jim as well. So I had to shake that off.
Oh, my goodness. I love that.
But yeah, I was a Little Jim. Yeah, you know, I guess I just think of my childhood as I was sort of an explorer. I was a curious kid. I was that kid who, you know, left the house on Saturday mornings, came back for lunch, and then came back for dinner. I've been a nature lover my whole entire life, and I just
always. Where did you grow up? What part of the world of the country were you?
Early on with my dad's family in Indiana, and then a little bit later on with my mom's family in Maryland. And so family is so incredibly important, a big part of my life, my extended family, my nuclear family, but Yeah. I would say most of my formative years were in Maryland and around my mother's family, which was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I was a Boy Scout, you know, collecting
of course you were.
I was that kid, camping and all those types of things, sports and everything. I was really an active kid. I couldn't sit still, always outside. And, you know, at the same time, and I think you and I have talked about this before, you know, I grew up in a family business. And so my father was in the service. And so we moved around a little bit, which, of course, you know, I will say that because of either that or moves that we made because of my dad's career, I went to about 6 different schools in the 12 years. And so each time you show up at a new school, you're a new kid and you're starting over again. And, you know, there's something to be learned from that.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that, my friend. Yes. And being the kid that can show up on a playground and go, "Hi, I'm the new kid. Want to be my friend?" Been there many times. So that's something we've not connected on yet. But yes, I get that. And something that you just touched on, being in the family business. I know we talked about the fact that, you know, having that exposure, being at the dinner table, having those conversations, it's what felt like a very kind of informative time in your life where that potentially influenced.
Well, I was fascinated by it. I mean, my dad left the service and then he started his own businesses, and he was in the automotive business. And, he's obviously the front person, but you know, my mother was, so integral to the success of the business, a little more behind the scenes. And, she was incredible and she influenced so much of my life. I would go on Saturdays and work with my dad as a kid. I would spend evenings with my mother. I was an expert at the calculator, working with my mom on doing the accounting. And I love that. I mean, it was, you know, it certainly helped my math skills.
I was going to say, that gave you the...
When I was in school, it helped my math skills. My parents were big influences on my life. And I think I learned so much growing up around that. My brother and sister did as well. My brother went on to run his own businesses. My sister has had a phenomenal career. And by the way, is just a whole discussion of reinvention. I admire her so much. My parents played such a big role, and my mother played such a huge role in sort of really shaping how I thought about the world. And I think back then, if you said, what do you want to do when you grow up? It was, I want to run a company. And that's what it was. That was my North Star. I want to run a company. But I wanted to do it on a larger scale. Not that I didn't admire my parents, and I admire my brother greatly for the businesses that They run local businesses. I admire local business so much. I've spent maybe that's why I'm so attracted to where I am now, because I spent a lot of time with local businesses, even though I work on a national scale. But, you know, I learned so much.
So in that journey to get to running a business, were there milestones that sort of threw you off course? Were there moments in that process of different jobs, different careers, different parts of your personal life where you sort of stood there and went, okay, where am I? What am I doing? Why am I doing that? These aha moments that we have when we try to course correct, right? Did you ever find yourself at that crossroads? And I ask this because I feel that the audience tuning in for reinvention inspiration often find themselves at that crossroads where you may be paralyzed or out of your comfort zone or trying to make a decision that may feel risky. What were those moments like for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, you know, I had some moments early on. You know, I went to college and I had a plan, right? I was going to be a marketing major, and I got into college and my mom said, you know, if you want to run a company someday, maybe you should switch your major to accounting. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to do accounting. And she said, but think about it. You want to run a business someday. Think the long game here. My marketing professor didn't love it, but I did. I switched to accounting. I took the risk in college and became an accounting major because, you know, she kind of, you know, put it into my head that, you know, if you want to run a company someday, you really need to get certain foundations and certain skill sets. And so I thought about my career as sort of building my skill sets, to get to a point where I could run something someday. And so, and as I went through each stage of my career, I thought, you know, why am I taking this job? What do I think that I can contribute? By the way, that's a very important part for me. And I've had mentors in the past who've always said to me, always go in thinking about what you can contribute and think about what you can learn. And so it's always about those two things. So what skill sets am I going to get out of that? And so, you know, I don't know. You know, you kind of went through a list of companies I have worked for, and I feel so fortunate to have worked for some of those. Some of them obviously were better experiences than others, but I know that whether a good experience or not a good experience, you're going to learn something from it, and you're going to learn. You know, you're going to learn either and be inspired by certain individuals or certain things that you've accomplished, or you're going to learn by certain individuals or other areas that maybe you didn't feel were as successful. So there's
really, you know, I think, not a lot of risk when that becomes the reward to, you know, trying something new, challenging yourself, getting out of your comfort zone, right? I mean, there's such an upside.
I'm not averse to, I know this is going to say, I'm not super risk averse. I don't know. Again, it was all about building a foundation and then saying, you know, have I made career decisions that, you know, I look back on and say, okay, you know, maybe that wasn't as successful as I wanted it to be. I didn't get as much out of it. You know, yeah, I think, you know, when you sort of take risks, sometimes you get greater rewards. But you know, I knew I had a plan, and all I said is I had my North Star was run a company. I knew that I wanted to go to school. I got out of school and as an accounting major, and I went to public accounting because I knew that I could see a lot quickly. I honestly went into the partner on the first day and said I want to go to business school in 2 years. I was very open about it. And what can I do between now and the next 2 years to get the greatest experience, because I'm going to put the work in. And I had an incredible experience. And that individual, you know, I will talk about mentors.
Yeah, that was actually the next topic I wanted to bring up.
Was my first mentor. And whether he realizes it or not, you know, they're just, I have sound bites from him until this day that I use. You know, mentors have been such a big part of my career. And as I've and mentoring is so important to me as well. Mentoring individuals, others. It's building teams and talent. You know, when you think about the themes that go through your career, you know, you mentioned early on that, hey, Jim, you got to work with a lot of great companies. I will say I also got to work with a lot of great teams. I got to build a lot of great teams. And that is, you know, one of the greatest pleasures in the career is relationships and the teams that you're building and the, you know, the individuals that you work with, right? You show up to work every day, you want to love what you do, but it's also really important to love, you know, to really respect and work with people that you genuinely care about. You care about their careers. You know,
and
about
you value
their, lives.
Their input. And I mean, we talk, you know, about the different ages that people in our lives can actually be mentors to us, right? You know, the things that we learn from the younger generation, from the older generation. I mean, there's no limit to that.
There is no limit to that. I can rattle off four or five people who I consider to be, and I wouldn't want to do that to embarrass them, but they had a profound effect on my career as mentors. But I've also had unofficial mentors. We talked about this, you know, people that I admire, who their style, their leadership, I learn from. I'm an observer. You know, I'm certainly a very active individual in meetings and in business. But I'm also an observer as well. And you know, whether it is someone who has more years of experience, or as you said, you know, fewer years of experience, because again, I think I mentioned to you one time I met someone, you know, maybe 15, 20 years younger than I am on a plane. And, you know, I learned so much. And I think, you know, who was in a career. And so I do follow younger generations. And I have I've one of my sound bites, because I was so lucky to build a video games business with a bunch of young people. I was in my early 30s. They were all in their 20s. And we built a games business. And it was hugely successful. And frankly, one of the best teams I've ever worked with. And what came out of that was the best ideas can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
And you really need to facilitate an environment as a leader to keep that environment, that open, that an open forum of ideas, so that everyone feels, you know, again, I've learned from some companies that they don't value that. And maybe I realized that maybe that wasn't the best place to be. But I've always, you know, since I learned so much, and I was given that shot to build that games company by a wonderful mentor. Of course, I wrote the business plan and I raised my hand to do it. And a lot of my initial career in making advancements and reinventing myself was writing the plan that allowed me to make the change. And I did that twice in my early career. And that's another important aspect of being able to sort of transition in my career, is taking that active opportunity to come up with the idea, to write the plan, present it to the company, and being able to move from finance to marketing, to move from marketing to running a division. But along the way, there were mentors there who enabled that to happen. And I have so much gratitude to them. I want to provide that for other people. It's been always an important part of, as a leader, important for me.
I love that. I think it's such an important point. And for young people to recognize that there is such a value in raising your hand, in stretching your goals, in stretching, you know, what your skills may be. You know, I have friends in the business, we talk about, you know, the having a reinvention in your back pocket, or having the toolkit of different skill sets that you can continue to lean into or grow from, or take that job that maybe you're not 100% comfortable with, that's going to force you to learn, to grow, be curious, stretch a little, and, you know, dare I say, lean into imposter syndrome and actually make that a positive thing. See yourself as that person and become that person that you want to be. And that may sound like a really risky proposition for a lot of people, but it's where you shine. It's where everything you just said enables you to grow. Trust that not only will mentors want to help you, but you too need to seek out mentors that will really support that growth. And I think you've really sort of lived with a lot of that as your sort of value yeah. set.
Yeah. I mean, a really kind of sort of interesting, funny story was, yeah, I'm a finance person at Disney, and I didn't want to be a finance person forever. I wanted to be a marketing person. I wanted to make that transition. And you're a big company and you're thinking, how am I going to make that transition? So I wrote a business plan for a marketing group in the consumer products division, and along with someone else. Yeah. I didn't do it on my own, but I wrote it with someone else. And then I raised my hand to be a part of that group. And again, one of those people, by the way, she had an effect twice in my career. Helped me make that change, which is difficult yeah. in big companies sometimes. And so the funniest part about that is the job ended up being a marketing job that was a public speaking job. And I was a nervous, prior to this job, I was a nervous public speaker. And yeah. I wasn't great at it. And one of my biggest motivations for wanting to do this job was I wanted to be a better public speaker. And for a couple of years, I did public speaking for a job. And, you know, by the way, now I had the easiest job in the world. I could walk in to, you know, all of Walmart's buyers and put up a Disney screener, turn off the lights. People got tears in their eyes. I mean, you have the people in the palm of your hand.
Yes, you did.
But still, I was a nervous public speaker before then. And now I love public speaking. And I feel, you know, teaching that to my sons, anytime that you have an opportunity to do public speaking in school, I want you to take it. I want you to push yourself.
You know, it's interesting. I'm actually doing a lot of advisory work, and we do like these mini consulting sessions that help people with refining their brand message, communicating. Is it to a reporter? Is it to a room full of business constituents? Is it to a room full of 200 people? Real public speaking. And it comes down to one very, very important issue, and that is having confidence in your message. If you know what you want to say, I mean, you have no problem walking in a room and saying, "Hi, my name's Jim Wilson. I have two kids. I'm the CEO of a company." The things that you know, you have no problem saying. So you've got to think about your message and the authenticity. So the natural delivery for you, nothing can trip you up. The lights going off, the PowerPoint not working, 200 people in front of you, that tough question that someone might ask you. If you are confident in your company, your brand, your message, your personal brand, whatever it is that you're there to share, it is going to put you light years ahead. And whether that's the five key words that you'll always come back to, or the five phrases that are relevant to your business, you are going to have stakes in the ground that will always, always hold you up in those moments. And that's kind of at the core of any of those moments. And it sounds like you figured out your North Star.
If you're passionate about, I mean, look, if you know, there's a passion to it, there's a confidence level to it. It's knowing the material. It's easier than you realize. Yeah. I think like I said, I pushed myself because I know that I wasn't the best at it. Right. I wanted to be better at it. And so I took a public speaking job for a couple of years, and I absolutely loved it. And I got to travel all the time, and I loved that too. So, and I think it was really helpful in my career. And I think, it taught me then, you know, to then, okay, now write the next business plan. And you're a marketing person at Universal, and you are reading royalty reports, and you're seeing all these games royalties coming in. And you think to yourself, well, you know, they weren't successful at games before, but, you know, the the studio knows the production model. So maybe rather than doing the models that they've done before with distribution, maybe, you know, launch a production model approach. And honestly, at the British Museum, at a movie premiere, I pitched the concept to the president of Universal Studios and was able to write the plan with the guidance of my then boss, Cynthia, who was one of my greatest mentors. And again, without her support, that transition wouldn't have been made. And she's such an important part
of my career.
I love
that you really stretched out of your, you know, shall we call it your 9-to-5 job, to do things, to be curious, to build on what you were doing, to lean into things that maybe would open up other opportunities and give you that experience. And I think there's so much to be said for that. And, you know, many people are looking at their career path as very linear. We are all very complex, wonderfully complex individuals. And there's so much to us. And I think that we have to allow ourselves. And I think there's a little more room for it in corporate America now, not just because of what we've been through in the last 3 years, but I think there's been an evolution where the whole self, the hobbies, the passions, the things that people really, you know, are showing up with in the workplace, there's more allowance for that. And I think people have to recognize that if it's not happening, they should have a voice. They should lean into it. They should ask for it. They should raise their hand. They should go to HR and say, can we create a culture here that allows for a little more of this, or put together programs or things within a company? And I think that there is a lot more space for that. There's a lot more grace in these environments. It's not everywhere, obviously, but I do think times have changed, and you know, there is that opportunity, right?
Yeah, I think. Well, first of all, I think that we're in the age of the side hustle, and I think side hustles are really important. And I didn't call them side hustles 15 years ago, but you know, I mean, first of all, my job was always my priority, right? Being successful in my career was a priority, but outside, I still made room for, you know, I don't know. There are benefits to doing volunteer work, right? I mean, and being, you know, there are skill sets that you can learn from volunteer work. There were friends who were starting businesses, and I helped them write their business plans. I got involved advising, whether I was making money or not. I was always learning. And so, you know, as you think about your career and, you know, and you think about sort of maintaining some level of flexibility, you know, or being able to learn and grow, you know, A lot of people will kind of look at your resume and say, okay, I'm going to put this person in this sort of bucket, you know, you know, oftentimes in recruiting, I will say that happens, right? They want the bullseye. And sometimes you got to make sure that you can show that you are able, first of all, it's always what's been my through line are my skill sets, right? So building your skill sets. Again, my North Star was I want to run companies. Okay, so what are the skill sets that I need? And then how do I run that through line of skill sets through the licensing business, the games business, the music business, whatever I've done? And so I think, and then, you know, some of that also then came from what I would then have called a side hustle. I was working with someone. If I started thinking about where I wanted to go next, I would get involved in a project that got me up to speed on the subject matter. So when I went in to pitch it or present it, I had spent some time thinking through it. And I think it allows you to kind of make those changes where you go from licensing to games to...
I had a conversation yesterday with a woman who's also in this reinvention business and just authored a book called Next, The Power of Reinvention, ironically. And we were talking about this notion of what she called move before you move, which is what you were just explaining, like lean into it, you know, do the homework, be curious, delve into it, understand it. You know, I talk a lot about having a reinvention in your back pocket. We're living in a precarious world. We never know what's going to happen. I mean, it's not just in business, but health-wise, relationships, you know, career, like to start thinking about what else is there. And look, my whole topic of reinvention is sit center in, are you really living the best life that you could be living for you? And we are all the center of our own universe. Each one of us has our own universe orbiting around us, right? It is up to us to determine what's right for us, how we want to live our lives. And it may not be a 5-minute reinvention if we have this epiphany and decide there's something else we want to be doing. It may be a 10-year process. If you are a parent raising children and have 3 jobs and you're single and you know, you think the notion of, yeah, sure, I'd love to run a chocolate shop on Main Street one day just for fun because I love chocolate, that may seem impossible. But if you put your mind to it and put that money in the coffee can every day and stop buying Starbucks and start pinching pennies a little and put a plan together and start to maybe, you know, maybe go volunteer for a few hours once a week or once a month and get a feeling for it and lean into it. Whatever that passion or dream is, you can try it on in some way, shape, or form. And whether it's within the career realm, whether it's spiritual, if it's health-wise, make decisions that are going to lead you to the next thing and the next thing to enhance what you're doing with your life. And, you know, you triggered that with that thought of exploring some of what that might be. And I just love that you really shared that.
Reflection. I mean, reflection is such a big, having a sort of, you know, well-balanced life. I mean, and I know I've told you I have a 14-year-old and 12-year-old. I have 3 kids. So they're going to listen to this. So they're going to be like, Dad. We have 3 sons and, you know, it's obviously, I feel like, you know, we all have accomplishments in our lives. And of course it's going to sound cliche, but obviously the having kids is the greatest thing I've ever done.
ever. Definitely.
I just feel so blessed. They've changed my life and they've changed me as a human being. And you know, being a part of their lives and being active in their lives is really important. You know, education is so incredibly important. It was so incredibly important to my mother, and then it's so incredibly important to me. So, you know, I don't think they love that I end up getting involved in their schools and being on their boards and everything like that. But
They love it. I'm just kidding. Why isn't my parent more involved? You know,
They liked it earlier. Yeah, but now they're teenagers.
Just, you got to keep a low profile. Wear the baseball hat. Keep your head down. And exactly. You're cool, you know, or just make sure you've got tickets for something fabulous, and then you're the cool parent. I mean, I made a living out of having to do that. You know, from the Wiggles to the Super Bowl.
Well, We just went to a Premier League game, so I did get some very cool dad points.
No, but you said being on boards. I mean, even that, you know, being on a board is incredibly fulfilling, and it is a way to stay involved in what the kids' future, their education, the environment that they're a part of, and yet you probably contribute so much because of your business acumen, and you probably learn so much from being on those kinds of boards.
Yeah, well, and then what can you bring to it, right? So, you know, there's a trend, you know, there's a strategic transformation happening with private schools. And so, and having a lot of transformation background and strategy background. Now, I've written 2 strategic plans for 2 different schools. And,
amazing.
And, you know, it's... and once word gets out that you do that...
I was going to say, you're going to get some phone calls because of this.
But it taught me, first of all, being a board member of a non-for-profit has taught me, how to be a better board member for a commercial. You know, I'm on commercial boards. I'm on for, not-for-profit boards. They both teach me, how to be a better board member. And that, again, those are the skill sets that you get. Amazing. And I think they're great experiences. And it's just also incredibly fulfilling to be a part of, you know, a education board. And so, you know, I feel fortunate for that. And I learned so much from it. So, again, it goes back to having a well-balanced life, you know, making time for your career, being present. And that's the other thing, obviously, as everyone knows, is kids teach you how to be present. And I think I've said this to you before. Life slowed down when I had kids, because when you're present, life slows down. And which, you know,
and I love that in the context of talking about all this business and children, that you can actually make that statement and recognize the impact. To your point, you know, we talked about, you know, I used to sit on the floor with my little boys, they're much older now, and, you know, doing Legos and playing with Transformers and, you know, just who does that as an adult? And a kid forces you to just sit on the floor and play. And like, who does?
We as adults like to play. We don't play as much. You know, I remember, you know, early on when we were going to all these birthday parties for the kids as they were growing up, and I was sitting with the parents, and, you know, we were like, wait a minute.
Why am I not the one on the trampoline right now? Right. Okay. And I think that's the beauty of it. They help, they remind us, they ground us. They do make us slow down and just sort of be present. And we look at life through their eyes once again. And that's something not to take to take for granted. There's a chapter in my book. I say, hello, are you still in there? Let's go back to who I was. That's why I asked that question at the beginning of the interview, you know?
Yeah. It also reminds you, to also just be present at work with your employees. You know, again, I feel such a, so much fulfillment and also just a level of responsibility for people and their careers. I always say the same thing when someone comes to join a company that I'm a part of, you know, your career is incredibly important to you. It's incredibly important to me. And I, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, having this next step, be an important part of your career. And, you know, and people are, you know, people, it really matters. Like it really matters, for teams, for us to be really important on making sure that they have platforms for growth and that they're, as I said, you know, the best ideas can come from anywhere.
Well, I think when you have that mutual respect in an environment where you're working as teams and contributing to the growth of a company, the success of a company, they all feel like stakeholders. And we, you know, I think we see our teams show up in a way that they want to contribute. They want to get up out of bed every day and go, wow, this is going to be really fun today. This is going to be interesting today. I can't wait to tackle this problem today or this challenge because we're doing it together. And when you can create an environment that does that, you know, there are going to be challenges. You know, I say to a lot of my team here at my agency, you know, we're not curing cancer, but we are really important to our clients' lives and what we're doing matters. So let's keep perspective and get the job done and do it with a smile on our face and make sure we eat good food along the way. And, you know, like people, we've got to be human. And the more human we are, the more we can bring to it and the more joy and fulfillment we can have in that. Jim, I hate to say this, but, you know, we are running out of time and I just, oh, there's so much.
I love this. We always get that way when we're together. We can talk all day long.
There is so much more of that ahead of us. But unfortunately, this piece of our podcast, we need to wrap up. But I have to ask you one super fun question, which is if you were to have a dinner party and you could have anybody at that table, maybe three or four people that come to mind that you'd love to break bread with. They could be dead or alive. You know, who would just be interesting, inspiring, someone that's going to make you laugh, cry, you know, that you just have burning questions for? Who would you love to have? 3 or 4 folks. And a good bottle of wine. Or tequila.
Exactly. Or tequila. Exactly. Oh, tequila would make it a little crazy. You know, I'd like to think of famous people. Certainly there are people throughout history who are just, you know, wow, you know, I've read about, you know, I'm a historical fiction or history buff, by the way, huge history buff. And that's what I read, by the way. But I'll switch it up because I think I've mentioned this. I've had people who've had a profound effect on my life, and we all move on in our lives and we don't talk to each other as much mm-hmm. as we have before.
Sure.
You know, my mom passed too young. And she was such a part of my life. I think if I was going to have that, of course, yeah. I'd want my mom there. And those 3 or 4 people who, whether it was my first boss, mentor, to, you know, others along the way at Universal, et cetera, whatever, I'd have 3 or 4 of them together for a gratitude dinner, to talk about the fun times, to thank them for everything that they did, for everything that they've taught me. And I know that sounds I'd like to reflect and let them know how much and what I've learned. And
beautiful. Yeah.
I will say at one point, my mother got to meet my boss at Universal. And I think that was such a special moment for me because 2 people that were mentors of mine got to meet. And I thought that was
probably
really
your mother probably had so much appreciation for where you were with that person. And knowing you were in the yes. hands and the company of someone who you felt that way about probably made her really happy. So that's very precious.
Yeah. I do.
I love that. Yeah. Well, Jim, I'm so grateful for you spending this time
Kathy,
with me and
so
being
much.
A part of this conversation and inspiring others to really think beyond what they may be, where they're at and what's possible and how to reinvent or tweak some tiny little piece of your life that can just be a catalyst for so much more. I'm really grateful.
Well, I want to thank you for doing all of this work. What you're doing is so important. You know, I've met so many friends along the way who get to a point where they're
trying to figure it out.
Whether they're 30, 40, 50, they're trying to figure it out. And your book is so incredibly inspiring. And the work that you ask us to do when we read your book is so helpful. And I think, you know, thank you so much
for
the work that you do.
It is absolutely my pleasure. So thank you for that. It really is. I get a lot of joy out of it. And hopefully we can just, you know, help people just go out there and have the lives that they're intended to have and that they deserve. And thank you again, Jim. Great to see
you
and to have you here. And for those who want to reach out to Jim Wilson or learn more about Talon, one of the most incredible out-of-home media companies, I will put details in the show notes. You can reach him on LinkedIn, and we will make sure that you know where to reach Jim.
Yes.
And for those who want to hear more, know more about reinventing your life in some way, shape, or form, feel free to go to thereinventionexchange.com. There's years of blogs and content and interviews and stories with so many incredible people. You can also link in there to pick up a copy of my book, which is Reinvent Your Life. What are you waiting for? So happy reinventing, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. please share with a friend. And thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.